The time is 7 minutes past 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. This Saturday, Early Music Michigan will present a seasonal concert called Light and Love, Music for a Season of Peace. Begins at 8 o'clock Saturday at Holy Family Chapel at the Nazareth Center off of Gull Road in Kalamazoo. And I'm really pleased to have two guests here today to preview this concert with me, soprano Anne-Marie Boyle. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Eric Strand, Music Director of Early Music Michigan. Welcome back.
Yes, good to be here.
Again, this concert is Saturday at 8 p.m., and it looks like some of the selections here are ones that I recognize from years past. Are you are doing a bit of a reflection on this?
Yeah, intentionally to look back at 20 years of Early Music Michigan. Of course, it started as Michigan Bach Collegium, but this is kind of playing to our strengths, a really eclectic program with incredible variety and, you know, generally short pieces, but everything from contemporary music of John Taverner, contemporary arrangements of older medieval chant of Hildegard of Bingen, and a wide variety of Christmas selections for the season. And you'll just find an immense variety. And that's intentional as our 20th year kind of rolls around, that we kind of play to our strengths and do things that we've done in the past.
This concert also features a trio, the Hazeltree Trio, and that will perform more in the folk tradition?
Well, they're traditional singers. And so they're very careful not to put themselves in, it's not folk music per se, but rather traditional music, a lot of Scottish music, Irish music, and some American music.
And yeah, so, actually, yes. If I can interrupt a little.
Please.
Hazeltree describes themselves as the genre of traditional music or trad music. In the USA, this is different from folk music, which is more Pete Seeger, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and that sort of thing. The description from their Facebook page is, Hazeltree is a traditional music ensemble of close, girly harmonies, guitar, mountain dulcimer, mandolin, concertina, and drum, performing trad songs and tunes from the British Isles, Ireland, and America.
So they'll trade off with the larger ensemble. Tell me about the current forces in your choir. How large is the ensemble today?
This weekend, we're not very large. We're about 12 to 14 singers, 14 singers, and plus the Hazeltree ensemble. So we'll feature a lot of recorders. The Troubadour recorder ensemble will be playing. Colin Brown will be adding some extra recorder material to the mix. And I will have a little bit of the organetto, or the medieval organ that I acquired a couple of years ago. And let's see, some percussion and guitars.
It's a real variety show, for sure. Yeah.
With 12 singers, that probably means some duets, trios, quartets, and some solos.
Actually, it's mostly ensemble work. And the solos that I'm singing on are really more introductory to the pieces. And so I don't have any real kind of just standalone solos. So it's really focused on the singers as an ensemble. And I think we've got a really great group of singers, and we're really getting a great sound this year. People really listen very well, and people are really dedicated to making beautiful, beautiful sounds.
With these pieces being familiar to a lot of you, are you off book on some of the concert?
Oh.
Well, that would be great if we still had many of the people that had been in the group, but we actually have a fair amount of new singers with us, and so to them, a lot of the repertoire is new. So there's a few of us that have been with the group for years. So
you could probably sing
off
book. Yeah,
exactly. we have quite a number of new singers, so it's been really great getting those new singers involved too.
Well, where did you find them?
Well, actually, I've been utilizing Facebook a lot more for our advertising.
Outreach.
And outreach, yeah. Mm. And so I have put out calls for singers. I've created events pages and so on. And so I've done a lot of outreach through Facebook, and that's been really great for us.
And having said that, we're always looking for interested singers. And now is a perfect opportunity here as we conclude this concert and we look toward our concert in March, to invite singers to contact us for those people who are interested in early music. It's really a niche kind of field. It's a lot of word of mouth. We have a number of singers who are associated with the Institute, Medieval Institute at Western Michigan University, which is fantastic because we can look at a lot of music and we can see the scholarly aspects there in the group. So that's been fantastic, but we are always seeking new singers.
Yeah, it would be great to have a few more singers. It's nice to have a small ensemble, and I think that's something that has drawn certain people to the group, and that also some people might get a little scared because you're more revealed. There's a lot more kind of pressure on you as almost a soloist, really, in the ensemble. Every voice really counts. And so so it's a very special kind of experience in that you're singing in a small ensemble. And I think it really appeals to certain types of singers.
You don't disappear. Right, no. It's hard to hide in an ensemble like this. And that's part of the beauty of it, too.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
At the same time, we look for voices which have a lot of character to them, non-traditional voices, perhaps. Men who sing in falsetto, women who sing extremely low, just a wide variety, any voice type. And the more character, you know, we love to find that sounds, because that's what we do.
It's interesting. It's a palette to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
One thing I was thinking of on my little walk to work this morning was how my Christmas is so different from a Christmas in another country today, or even 100 years ago Christmas in so many different places. The Christmas I take for granted, and even the days, the rituals, everything, are completely changed when you go back just a little bit in time. And you're drawing from different cultures, different ways of celebrating, different meanings of this time of year.
Very interesting question and to ask. And indeed, I think this ensemble and our Christmas presentations have just become more increasingly diverse. And so that we can present a wide variety of cultures, wide variety of notions about, you know, Christmas, what that means. It's very non-denominational in many sort of cases, interfaith, and often it's a whole mix of things. We don't want to present just a straitjacket typical Christmas sort of, you know.
But even if you do restrict yourself to British tradition, you end up with mummers and really, really pagan rituals if you go far back enough.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's quite a variety, even within one culture.
Right. We hope to always present something new and fresh, maybe a new sound. Last year, I don't know if you remember this, at the Lessons and Carols King's College, they had an amazing new commission, and it was all about the refugee crisis. And it had the boys sort of basically doing these long, extended, almost screams from these glissandi. And it's been described as the most beautiful, ugly sound that you'll hear. But for me, a lot of people criticized it because it was so different from the rest of the very formal kind of music. But for me, that experience transformed the entire Lessons and Carols. A, it brought it into the relevant situations of political situation that we have with refugees and highlighted that. But also, it was just that foil of singing something so jarring and yet incredibly beautiful transformed the whole piece. Mm. And so I think that there's room in Christmas to present things that aren't necessarily so straightforward, so pretty, so maybe so, you know, just on the surface, all tinsel and glitter. but rather something that, that might actually raise awareness of who we are as people.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we are here now because we can talk about John Taverner, who has a very original voice and is a 20th and 21st century composer.
Yes, he just died a few years ago, but an amazing composer because he's a neo-medieval, neo-Renaissance, a neo-something, because he uses a lot of the musical elements like drones, which harken back. A lot of his music sounds like chant, sort of updated chant. A lot of it has a bit of a puzzle to it, perhaps. One of the pieces we're singing, The Lamb, is musical palindromes. And so that they sort of go, they read the same forward and backwards if you were to do it both ways. So there's sort of an inherent puzzle that's there, which harkens back to early music and interesting numbers. It sounds like chant. We're doing a piece, the very opening of the concert is just kind of a moment there, which with this little short piece of his called Oh, Do Not Move. And the text is simply, Oh, Do Not Move, Listen. And so it's a fascinating little moment there with just over a static harmony and a descending scale. And then we go right into that, into a to an old hymn to the Virgin. But so John Taverner's music really is kind of timeless. And the amazing thing is that I always tell the choir this every time we do a Taverner piece, is when you learn the first page of music, you've learned the whole piece of music. Because he has said about his inspiration that he doesn't receive his inspiration sort of chronologically or over a time amount from, you know, like you might think of starting the composition from start to finish, but rather as a single inspiration that is simply dropped into his lap or dropped into his head. And that single inspiration is almost all the material is found in the first page of music. And so it's really brilliant the way it works, and it gives it that kind of out-of-time experience and not a piece that has a beginning and an ending, but rather a single inspiration.
Light and Love, Music for a Season of Peace, is the name of this program, beginning at 8 o'clock this Saturday at Holy Family Chapel at Nazareth Center. It's off of Gull Road. Why don't we take a break and hear music of John Taverner? Music that expresses not only the joy of singing, but the joy of the season. We have two guests here today, Eric Strand and Anne-Marie Boyle of Early Music Michigan. And the concert is Saturday at 8 p.m. at Holy Family Chapel. That was music of John Taverner. You talked about his inspiration for composing. I like to think of him as a man out of time, in our time. He was a very devout, I think, Greek Orthodox.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Man, and in some ways, joined the real world on his terms every so often, but often lived in a pretty hermit-like way, and that sort of gives his music a little bit of that special direct connection to the holy. I think.
Yeah, his inspiration of the Greek Orthodox Church and his use of Byzantine chant makes up this interesting mix of styles and inspiration. And so he's just works really well with an ensemble of early music.
And he was caught up in modern day events back in the very late 90s when Princess Diana died. And it was his hymn for Athena that sort of encapsulated the funeral in that time.
That's right. That did make an incredibly powerful impact on that song for Athena, which just, again, that was a very unique funeral in many ways. If you remember the Elton John song that was rewritten for that. And in a way, then that piece, that song for Athena, with its incredible alleluias, and they singing that as they processed out, you know, it's just absolutely a stunning moment. And interesting, that was Martin Neary who was directing the music, and we just heard Music of Taverner performed by Martin Neary in that Westminster Abbey choir.
People can find out more about this concert at the Early Music Michigan website or, of course, on Facebook, as Anne-Marie mentioned. There's a lot of activity there. You can like the Early Music Michigan Facebook page.
Yes.
We have to get on to another composer, more varieties of music to cover this concert, which again features the Hazel Tree Consort in parts, bringing a trad sound to the proceedings at Holy Family Chapel. And we're heading now to a piece by the group Anuna. Maybe Anne-Marie can talk about that.
Well, Anuna is a group that Michael McGlynn, the composer, brought together to sing. It ended up specifically his music. And his music is it's very influenced by early music, by traditional folk musics as well. And so he's sort of brought a new kind of choral tradition to Ireland and created this kind of new sound. He also has, he trains his singers, and he also has a school, different programs during the summers and things like that, where he trains singers in his style of singing. So he kind of creates a sound for the singers, an approach in order to sing his music, which is not necessarily how we would think about how music or singing is taught in conservatories, which is, you know, basically, you know, more of an operatic, very traditional style. His style tries to focus on more of a natural sound and getting the singers to sound like themselves, finding their own particular sound, and that all those individual sounds come together and create the one sound of Anuna.
Very informed by the traditional music of Ireland and their singing style?
Absolutely.
Does he come from that?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. And there are some of his pieces that are influenced by, is it Sean Noce?
Sean Noce.
Yep.
It's a solo style. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he has some pieces that specifically highlight that style. Huh. And so they're very challenging.
Yeah, you'll hear that in those Anuna recordings where a soprano will take a solo part and she'll do ornaments that you don't usually hear in regular choirs.
Right, yeah, absolutely. But I think one of the things, too, about his music that I think it seems like it has an improvisational quality, but everything is composed. It's written out and very prescribed how he wants it to sound. He's very particular. And so so you'll hear that even in this the piece that one of the pieces we're going to sing of his, O Viridissima, which takes text from Hildegard and then infuses it with almost a improvisational style. But those little bits of music, those motives, are layered by way of the singer sort of improvising it. It's, you know, in that way that it's not, say, you have to come in on measure two or something like this, but that the entrances are staggered. So there is that aspect, which could be considered somewhat improvisational.
When you say he takes text from Hildegard, for those listeners who aren't sure what that means, why don't you expand a little bit on
Well, Hildegard.
Who's Hildegard?
Hildegard was a nun, a composer from the medieval period. Her date's approximately 1098 to 1174, I think. And she was, I would think you might describe her as just an absolute maverick for the time and still this day. She wrote texts, she wrote music, she created art, and she really was what you might consider a channel by which the spirit of God kind of came through, and she was able to create all this wonderful material that we still have access to today, which is incredible.
So he was inspired by her writing?
Her writing, yeah, and the text. What's interesting about the text, it starts off with the Latin, and then the translation into English is interspersed into the rest of the piece. So it's you get a bit of Latin in the beginning, an excerpt of this O Viridissima text, and then you have the translation, which is nicely placed.
Let's hear a Nuna in our preview of Early Music Michigan's concert Saturday at Holy Family Chapel beginning at 8 p.m. That's an example of music that will appear on Saturday night on Early Music Michigan's Light and Love Music for a Season of Peace. Absolutely gorgeous.
It's ethereal.
Music, yeah. It's
that kind of moment in this concert that gives you a different sound, you know, a different texture. And the little improvisatorial quality is always a good quality to have in any concert, and especially in an early music concert, to emphasize improvisation. And so I think it's very interesting. And so while we're talking about Hildegard, mm-hmm. One of the instruments that we'll be featuring on the concert is a recently acquired instrument. About 3 years ago, it was commissioned to be built in Germany. It was commissioned by Lynn Maxwell Keller, who was the founder of the Hildegard Singers. And she did a one-woman show, which was Light and Life of Hildegard. And so she was able to commission this amazing instrument. And it's a medieval organ. In Italian, they call it organetto. And if you ever see a stained glass window with where St. Cecilia is pictured with an organ, that's really what it looks like. It's an amazing instrument. It's very expressive. The player operates the bellows or the wind supply for it. And that allows you to be very expressive with the sort of the swell of the tone. And I mean, there are contemporary accounts of where people were weeping at the kind of the quality of how one's able to manipulate the tone. It's not like a typical organ sound. It's more of like a vocalist, really. But it's a versatile instrument in that it can provide a long drone to sustain singing over the top of it. In fact, there are some little drone levers that will actually keep the key depressed while you play above it. And so it's a really amazing instrument, and we'll get to hear that on this concert in both its sort of drone roles, but also in its improvisational roles, and just to add accompaniment to some of the music.
That's a wonderful story on the origin of this particular mm-hmm. instrument. I spoke with Corina Marti during the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, who brought a medieval instrument, the clavicembalum, and as far as how to recreate this instrument in the modern day, they had to find a set of plans that had been written down a few hundred years after it was popular.
Wow.
But
wow.
It worked. Mm-hmm. It was, the organetto, are there may in this case have been existing versions of it from the medieval period.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not as complicated as the clavicembalum, I'm yeah. sure. It's a pretty straightforward instrument as far as the organs go. But there are a number of builders throughout the world still building them today. Uh-huh. This was particularly one in Germany by the Wolkenstein Company.
There is a highlight on the album O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, by the Hildegard singers. You accompany mm-hmm. the singers on this disc, and in one of these tracks you actually perform a
right, there's a little dance. Recording of the organetto playing an estampi.
Well, let's see dance. That. That's my guest, Eric Strand, with the organetto built especially for the Hildegard singers and for your hands to play. An estampi, that sounded very, very medieval. Is that an example of kind of a tune
yeah,
you might hear at
absolutely.
A court, dancing?
Yeah, dance music, court music, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all inspired by dance. And there's the other side of the organetto is that espressivo style. And you'll hear both qualities on the concert.
Again, when is the concert and where?
We're looking at this Saturday night at Holy Family Chapel, which is at the Transformations Center there on Gull Road. Just if you're heading out from Kalamazoo on Gull Road, you head out past the hospital, Borges Hospital, and just past the Health and Fitness Center. There is this fantastic chapel, Holy Family Chapel. It's an 8:00 concert, and it's an amazing, beautiful, sort of Baroque-styled chapel. It's really a hidden gem in Kalamazoo, and we're so fortunate to be able to sing in that beautiful acoustic.
There are a number of recordings that we're lucky enough to have that were made there from Western choirs mostly. The recent Ex Corde or Ex Corda recording from the University Chorale was made there. And
marvelous, yeah.
And the Monteverdi Vespers also recorded there.
Oh, that's true.
So what a perfect venue. We are now about 15 minutes away and still lots more music to touch on for this concert.
Right. We have music in English. We have music from America. We also have a little set of music from South America, including the very famous Riu Riu Chiu, kind of an ancient processional called Hanuk Pachop, which was by Juan Perez Bocanegra. And we have this little piece, which is indicative of the style, Convidando Esta la Noche by Juan Garcia de Zespedes. And it's a tricky piece to do. It's a variety of tempo, and it also has that kind of feast and festivity that is kind of hard to get into, you know, our cultural bones, but we're working at it. But it's a fun piece because it'll feature the guitars just sort of strumming away and the flute on the top of that with this very raucous kind of moments throughout. The translation of it, which I'm sure loses some in translation, but nevertheless, feasting on this night here with varied music to the newborn child, they sing tender praises. As happy as they are festive, these handsome shepherds intone with novelty these trifles for your guaraca. Oh, how I burn, divine master, oh, and the loveliness, oh, of your eyes, oh, how they rain down, oh, rays in their hundreds, rays now seen, oh, melting the ice, oh, how his mother, oh. And so it's all these interesting, you know, interjections throughout, but ends with the peace towards all, oh, gift of the heavens, oh, thanks be to God, oh, and the final word is, oh, now we'll shut up.
Eric Strand and Anne-Marie Boyle here with us today. Early Music Michigan's performance is Saturday at 8 p.m. at Holy Family Chapel. Let's hear this festive piece.
Convidam questa la noche a chi de musicas varias a recién nacido infante cantendiela.
We heard convivial song from the Spanish tradition. This is what Early Music Michigan really specializes in. You're just not afraid to take on traditions, languages, styles from older times and bring that music all together in one so people can really experience what we've left behind to a certain degree, but still informs what we know today as our music. So you're a scholar, Anne-Marie. You went to, was it Indiana?
Yeah, Indiana University.
University.
Yes, did I?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is it a continual, of course you leave school and do you just continually learn and study and find, go deeper and deeper into these topics?
Well, I think too, with early music, it's always changing. For example, when I was at IU, I was at the Early Music Institute, and that's what it was called, EMI. Well, a few years ago, they decided we want to call it Historical Performance Institute. So instead of Early Music Institute, they changed the name to Historical Performance Institute. So what that includes, I guess the difference is that with early music, we say, well, everything before Bach, basically Bach and then before.
Yeah.
And then everything else is, you know, more in the modern kind of style, I guess. But with historical performance, it encapsulates the whole up to 20th century in that we're looking at performing music in an informed way. Even romantic music and saying, how did the romanticists do it?
Yeah.
What types of halls and with what types of instruments and what types of strings and so on, taking that early music approach and just bringing it to modern day, really.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah.
Amazingly how the early music movement has just kept getting more contemporary. I mean, at first it was, you know, with sort of Handel and Bach and the Baroque era, and then it moved on to Mozart. and that orchestra, the Age of Enlightenment, and the other ensembles. Yeah. And then they've gone through Brahms, you know, using historic pianos and keyboards.
Absolutely.
And the you know, looking at dynamics in Sibelius to an extreme degree. I mean, just incredible.
Sure. I've heard historically informed Gershwin, you know.
Well, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
They bring back the banjo.
Right. And you think about, too, I mean, the context was so important to how music is performed. And if you take the music out of its original context, for example, singing an art song in a huge opera hall or something like that, well, that wasn't meant for that music. It was an intimate style that you were singing very closely, very kind of quietly to the people that were surrounding you, and you weren't blasting your voice trying to fill this huge, right. You know, which
it's artificial,
which is, yeah. And it changes the whole intention. And so I totally appreciate that. And I think it, you're giving more homage to the actual composer and to the initial expression. So I, even though I thought, well, they're changing the name of my institute, I think it's absolutely it's great. And I think people, I think it's sort of like once you stop learning then and changing, then it becomes dead, you know.
Right. It's not meant to be a straitjacket of any kinds. It's meant to inform and to give you more options.
Yeah,
there's totally. One shouldn't you know, be afraid of new knowledge, and in the end, the performer has to make the decisions, and hopefully that they're informed decisions.
It sounds like from when you started, it's even more of an exciting field than when you started as students.
Absolutely. There's more possibilities. And so I think it, for myself, when I was studying voice, you get put into an opera package, and now it's sort of like we can approach opera even in a new way, and bring it into different contexts. So
in Early Music Michigan is part of the field, part of the continued journey.
We try to be that voice.
Yeah,
we are working to be that voice in Kalamazoo and in this region. Right, every voice is interesting and has character. And I think that so often the old model, they tried to make all voices kind of sound alike. And so we're standing on the side of let's discover and rediscover the possibilities.
Well, we have time for just one more song that will help represent everything that you're putting on stage on Saturday, which again, 8 p.m. at Holy Family Chapel at the Nazareth Center, Gull Road. You can find out more on Facebook or through the website Early Music Michigan. And let's hear what this last piece will be.
Well, we'll have a big American set. And specifically, I think we're going to look at this Appalachian carol called Sherburn, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. It's in the sort of the shape note tradition. And it's fun to sing with that kind of full bore, open, pull out all the stops sound of your voice.
Eric, thank you. Anne-Marie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night.